Something is changing in how we build, and it's not just the tools.
It's what we value, what we keep, what we hand to machines, and what we hold on to.
I'm Deb Johnston.
And I'm Reg Prentice. This is To Build is Human, a podcast for the people navigating what it means to build in a moment when everything around them is changing.
We need teams of people who are focused on making stuff better in our industry that are software people. And we need to hire those people in and give them roles where either they don't have billability expectations or give us billability expectations and let us solve problems for our clients.
Everyone can benefit in all areas of continuous improvement. Every role that I've held has taught me something new, not just in tech, but about people, about process, about purpose.
As architect, you go into these operations, they have to be empowering. They have to just open the door and be used as a catalyst to propel for betterment and not be a hindrance. So I can't open up any one of these systems or tools that bring a form of automation and bind myself to it. So even with the world of AI and machine learning now, I keep stressing that the human factor can never, ever go away.
Find us wherever you listen.
All right. So back to...
Sorry. I thought you were making that up.
No.
I wasn't looking.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of She Builds Podcast, where we share stories about women in the design and construction field, one lady at a time.
This season, we were inspired by the number 11, which is basically a pair of ones, or exactly a pair of ones. So this season's theme is pairs or duos. We are talking about ladies who were part of a professional pair in some fashion.
As always, we are not experts, and we are just sharing stories about the information that we find as friends, having a fun conversation. If you find an error, send us an email and we will all continue learning.
This week, we will be talking about Ellen Biddle Shipman, a landscape architect, and many other things. Okay, now you might be thinking, wait a second, isn't this episode 110 of the season? Where's the wrap up?
Well, for season 11, since we're talking about duos, we decided to do a 20-episode season. Double the episodes, double the fun.
That's right. We wanted to highlight more women in duos this season, so you get an extra 10 episodes without a break. Surprise! Hopefully it's a good surprise, and listeners will enjoy hearing about our next 10 ladies.
Yeah. So we'll have a wrap-up at the end of 20 episodes instead of 10. Here we go. All right, so like I mentioned before, this week we will be talking about Ellen Biddle Shipman, a landscape architect that left an impact on the American landscape. I'm Jessica Rogers, hitting the gym with my trainer based out of Miami, Florida.
Hey there, I'm Lizzie Rahr, trying to go salsa dancing every Monday in San Francisco.
Have you?
No.
Okay.
Well, it's Tuesday.
And I'm Nurjini Rivas, aiming to walk 10,000 steps a day, not really succeeding lately. In Houston, Texas.
Yeah, for the record, I only go to the gym once a week. That's the only time I work out, and that's because I prepay to...
That's good.
Anyway, so our story begins November 5th, 1869, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, when Ellen Biddle was born.
Oh, we're going to Pennsylvania today. That reminds me that I promised a friend I would go there this year. Let's see if I keep my promise. It's not looking that way.
Really?
Nope.
Really putting it out there for you to try and keep that promise.
That's right. I need the accountability.
We'll catch up on our wrap-up to see if you ever did make it.
All right.
From what I can tell, Ellen grew up in a privileged way. Her family was wealthy. They traveled. Her father was in the military. So that's why they would move a lot. She did spend some time with her grandmother, who she attributes to her love for gardening.
Oh, that's nice that her grandma was the one who inspired her love of plants and gardening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds lovely. Also, Jessica, I know you said she traveled all over the place, but
Let's just stop and make an honorable mention to one of her living locations, the great state of Texas. Where in Texas? I couldn't find that in my quick search, but hey, maybe she was in Houston. Who knows? Let's pretend that we shared some stomping grounds.
Yep, maybe she met the mother of Houston.
Maybe. I don't know. I would have to check the years. Charlotte Baldwin Allen, episode 77, was in her 60s when Ellen was born. So that seems like kind of a stretch, but who knows?
Yes. All right. Anyway, let's go back to the things that we do know.
All right.
So Ellen would attend the Shipley School in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania, where she received a well-rounded education that included art and horticulture.
Dude, this school has history. It's celebrating 125 years of changemakers. Their website has a display of 125 moments that have made an impact in the school's history, and it's pretty cool. The school was started by the Shipley sisters, whose dad highly emphasized higher education for women, which at the time was almost non-existent. So they set out to do their part to change that.
Wow, that's awesome. I love that Ellen got to be part of this early push for women's education.
Yeah. All right, so at some point, she even studied at a boarding school in Baltimore when she was a teenager. After this, she would attend the Harvard Annex, which is before it became Radcliffe College. All of this contributed to her learning about art, architecture, horticulture, and things like that.
Sounds like she made the rounds through some really good learning institutions.
Ooh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So at Harvard, Ellen met and married Louis Shipman, a playwright who was attending Harvard.
Ooh, sparks were flying in Boston.
A playwright? That sounds cool. She married a creative such as herself.
Yes, and they were in creative circles, okay? Because Ellen and Louis, they would live in the Cornish Art Colony in New Hampshire. This colony consisted of sculptors like Augustus St. Golden, the artist Thomas Dewing, illustrator Maxwell Parrish, and the architect Charles Platt.
An art colony? I've never heard of that. Sounds like a nice way to say hippie place commune.
Yeah, an artist summer camp commune. That's the vibes it's giving me.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds cool. Well, okay. Augustus St. Gaudens was a French-Irish-American sculptor of the Beaux-Arts School of Thought. He reached fame in the U.S. with monuments dedicated to heroes of the American Civil War, and he also designed a $20 coin for the U.S. Mint, who critics say is the most beautiful American coin to have ever graced the presence of the American people.
Wow.
I looked it up. It's actually pretty. I agree.
Wow.
Most importantly for this episode, Augustus was the founder of the hippie cool place, officially known as Cornish Colony. And a lot of known painters, sculptors, writers, and architects like to go there to get their creativity on at the colony, if you know what I mean.
Cool.
Well, Thomas Dewing was a painter who spent his summers at the Cornish Colony with his family. He was originally from Boston, but went and studied art in Paris. He's known for paintings of aristocratic women. I gotta say, I actually like several of his paintings. They're fairly muted and kind of have an impressionist feel to them.
Yeah, I particularly like the ones where the ladies seem like they're dancing.
The one called Summer?
Yes!
Yes, I love that one too!
I want it in a postcard size and I would put it in by my desk.
Ooh, agreed. Yeah, yeah.
So, Jessica, what was Ellen up to at this colony with these people?
You know, she was living there. Learning from the artists, getting inspired for her future work in landscape. She became known as the landscape lady there, actually.
Oh, love it.
Build your portfolio, Ellen.
Yeah. So Ellen is living her life. She has three kids, creating a home for herself and family. She creates these beautiful gardens that her friends admired.
Wow, lovely.
I want a friend who comes to do my garden.
Yeah. All right, so let's fast forward to 1910. Ellen is 41 and divorces her husband. Reason?
Oh.
Unknown.
What a bummer.
Oh, no. Sad for Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like something really bad has to happen for someone in 1910 to get divorced since it was such a taboo. Or maybe Ellen and Louis were just really ahead of their time and decided it was not worth living, unhappy, just to avoid other people's gossip. That could be it too.
I mean, I hope so for their sake.
Well, like you said, of course, during this time in 1910, divorce was rare. And Ellen had to figure out life so that she could, you know, raise her three little ones. So Charles Platt was the architect and landscape designer too, actually. He was getting commissioned for large estates. And he had seen Ellen's design talent through her work in the Cornish colony. So Charles turned to Ellen for help. And so their partnership began. Only professional, but let's not start the rumor mill.
We could have started rumors, but thank you for putting the brakes. I mean, you just mentioned the divorce, but okay, we'll stay away from that. Mm-hmm. Charles A. Platt, known for his American Renaissance style, I'm glad he decided to collaborate with Ellen.
Yeah, I love that. And like Jessica said, she had started doing some landscaping for fun at the colony, and people there knew she had an eye for landscape design. So it makes sense that Charles would seek her out.
At first, Charles became like a mentor to Ellen, in a way. His staff taught her how to draft and about construction, but Ellen knew about plants and had a keen sense of design. So it might have been like a mentor-mentee relationship for a brief period, but then it became more of a collaboration between the two.
That's really neat. Ellen had an intuition for landscape design, and then when she and Charles started collaborating in a way, she was getting more formal training in the profession. I like this career journey.
Same.
So at some point, Ellen did get formal training at the Cambridge School of Domestic and Landscape Architecture in Massachusetts.
Nice. I find it super interesting, like you said, Nerjiti, that she got some sort of apprentice training from Charles and then went for formal training after. But I love her perseverance.
Yes, this is a very interesting story of how she forged her career. When I was growing up, I felt like a career had a very linear path, especially a career in architecture. And as I've gotten older and listening to the stories we tell, honestly, I've been learning there are so many different paths we could take. One opportunity leads to another. I'm super inspired by Ellen right now.
For sure.
Together, Ellen and Charles would work on gardens all over the country, from Seattle to Cleveland to her hometown of Philadelphia.
Cross-country commissions. Love it.
And we know Ellen is no stranger to travels.
True.
That's right. So, one notable project that they worked on together was the gardens for the Rockefeller family in Tarrytown, New York. Her style had European influences, but still rooted with American flora.
The Rockefellers. Ellen be getting high-profile commissions. Hey.
Get it, Ellen.
Yeah. All right, so these European aesthetics, right? Here's an example. She would have things like axial paths with fountains in the center. Very Versailles. But then she'd include like flower borders, fruit trees, stuff like that. Now, you know the style of painting that is considered like the great American landscape? Do you guys know?
I don't.
No, but I believe you.
Okay, well, Ellen's work was described that way, so.
Okay.
Interesting.
Wow, impressive to be considered the ideal American landscape.
Yeah.
Yes.
That seems like a tall order, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She could do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so another notable project that they collaborated on was the William Gibbons residence in Princeton, New Jersey. Her collaboration with Charles was great because it became her stepping stone to launch her own firm in 1920.
What up, business owner in the house?
Yeah.
So she would move to New York City and start one of the only women-led landscape architecture firms in the country.
Yes, got it, girl.
Not only was this one of the firms women-led, but employed by only women. Ellen basically established one of the few women-only firms in the country. Ellen was known for hiring mostly women from the Lothrop School of Landscape Architecture.
That's so great. I really like that she was supporting other women designers and helping them get a foothold in the profession, especially at a time where it was probably nearly impossible for women to get jobs in male-run landscape firms, right?
Exactly. And her specialty was mostly residential, like the work that she did with Charles. High-end clientele, like the Rockefellers, for example, that had large estates that requested large gardens. But she was also commissioned to design a few non-residential projects too. Like, for example, in Detroit, along Lakeshore Drive, Ellen was asked to design the landscape that surrounded the road. There's a quote that I read about this, that it was designed so that motorists were confronted with an ever-changing panorama of great beauty in every season of the year.
We need more of this.
Oh, agreed.
Yes. So another project that she worked on was the Memorial Gardens at Duke University. An interesting tidbit that I found was that Ellen is related by marriage to Mary Duke Biddle, the great-granddaughter of Washington Duke, whom the university is named after. I have to check out where that lies in the family tree of another one of our ladies, Doris Duke, from previous seasons.
No way! That's so cool that our ladies are related in some way, even if it is by marriage.
This episode feels so full of connections.
Mm-hmm. All right. So in 1938, Ellen would be called the Dean of Landscape Architecture by House and Gardens magazine. When I first heard this, I really thought maybe she started a school or something. But I think it's mostly because she helped women in their careers. She was known to be a mentor. Several women worked with her. She helped start the careers of women like Dorothy May Anderson, Edith Shriver, and Elizabeth Leonard Strang. Future episode alert.
Now we have future connections.
This is so great. I mean, like I said before, I really love that Ellen is kickstarting all these ladies and making that a focus of her work and her firm.
Yes. And shout out to Emma M. Lewis, friend to the show. She wrote a chapter on Ellen in her book, Women of Steel and Stone. So on the chapter on Ellen, she brings up an interesting point when Ellen says, before women took hold of the profession, landscape architects were doing cemetery work. Until women took up landscaping, gardening in this country was at its lowest ebb.
Oh, that's some shade right there. But I also love that she was like, listen, women made this profession what it is.
Yeah.
Take note.
She was like, you better recognize.
That's right.
Period. All right. So to make it sound that gardening was like whatevs, but when women started designing, it became elevated. Okay. I just thought it was hilarious, and maybe that's why they called her the Dean of Landscape Architecture.
Yeah, when she puts it like that, it does sound like she oversaw the profession, essentially.
Mm-hmm. She took it to another level, y'all.
That's right.
That's right. So in her lifetime, Ellen would design over 600 landscapes. I mentioned the Rockefellers, but some of Ellen's clientele also included the Edisons, like the light bulbs, the Fords, like the cars, the Sebringlings, as in the Goodyear, aka the tire and rubber company, and the Vanderbilts, as in the Vanderbilts.
No big deal.
That's a casual client list.
Yeah.
She was running in some high-end circles.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, this isn't the first time that we did a story on a landscape architect, but I think perhaps the reason why we might not have done her story before is because some of these gardens don't exist today. Just recently, they have been rediscovered and work is being done to restore them.
That's such a bummer that they haven't been kept up, but I'm glad there's an effort and a desire to restore them now.
Yes.
Okay, I think I might have mentioned it at some point, but do y'all recall Victory Gardens that were promoted during World War I and World War II?
Vaguely.
Not really.
Okay, so Victory Gardens, those were things that they did during World War I and II to promote folks to just grow their own vegetables instead of buying them at the store because tougher times.
Right.
Well, Ellen was one of the biggest advocates for it. She would lend her New York office to the Garden Club of America, where she gave out information on how to start and maintain Victory Gardens.
Love that.
That's great.
Yes. So Ellen would lecture, and in 1947, she would close her New York office. Ellen would officially retire to her house in Bermuda that she designed.
Okay, Ellen. Retiring to an island for some R&R.
Oh, snap. Mm-hmm. Now that's how you retire.
That's right.
Amen. All right. So on March 27th, 1950, Ellen would pass away at 80 years old.
Sounds like Ellen lived a long life and accomplished so much. I'm really glad that we got to learn about the woman who helped shape the profession of landscape architecture so much and helped so many women start their careers in the profession.
Such an inspiration, truly.
Yes, and unlike some of our ladies, Julia Morgan, Ellen's work is archived at Cornell University. So we could still look at that for reference.
Good job, Ellen. No burning all your work. We approve.
Yeah.
All right. So now we have reached the second part of our episode, the caryatid. A caryatid is a stone carving of a woman used as a column or a pillar to support the structure of a Greek-style building. In each episode, we choose a caryatid, a woman who is working today, furthering the profession through their work, and who ties into the historical woman of our episode. So without further ado, drum roll, please. Elizabeth Kennedy.
Elizabeth.
Great name, right, Lizzie?
Great name, great name.
Agreed.
So I first heard about Elizabeth Kennedy through this organization. Not sure if y'all heard of it before, but it's called the Black Landscape Architect Network, or BLAN.
Oh.
Elizabeth sits on the advisory board for that organization.
So cool. I have not heard of this BLAN.
Me neither. Gotta look this up.
So besides the board, Elizabeth is a registered landscape architect, principal, and founder of EKLA PPLC, a firm based in New York. She is considered to be an expert in green infrastructure, landscape restoration, and she designs for resilience and cultural site development and management.
Wow.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, it sounds like she's really doing it.
Her work is really cool. She's been involved with the landscape of housing projects, including affordable housing projects. On her firm's website, it says that Elizabeth has written specifications for the protection and restoration of heritage trees and living landmarks listed on the National Register of Historic Places.
So she's doing really important work.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah. Continuing on the development of landscape architecture.
That's right.
That's what she reminded me of.
She's taking up the torch from Ellen.
Keep it up, Elizabeth.
All right. Before we say goodbye, we want to say thank you to CMYK for the music, John W., our technical advisor, and most of all, thank you all for listening.
Remember to check out our show notes for links to all of our resources on this episode, as well as pictures of projects we've talked about.
We hope you enjoyed learning about today's lady and caryatid along with our banter, and that you are inspired to find out more about them and other amazing professional ladies.
Please let us know what you thought of our episode. If you've enjoyed it, please help us spread the word. Tell your friends, your neighbors, your family, tell them all. Tell them to give us 5 stars on iTunes and Spotify and write us a review. This will all help us reach a wider audience and for more people to learn about these amazing ladies with us.
Your support means everything to us. If you've enjoyed our content and want other ways to help us with our mission, you can support us by visiting our website for merchandise.
If you don't need any more swag, but you'd still like to consider supporting the research we're doing, you can donate to us on our website at shebuildspodcast.com/donate, or you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/shebuildspodcast. You can also find links to all these items on our website.
She Builds Podcast is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. Gable Media is curated thought leadership for an audience dedicated to building a better world. Listen and subscribe to all the shows at gablemedia.com. That's GABLmedia.com.
We are excited to hear from you and for you to come back and keep learning about bosses with us. You can email us your thoughts at shebuildspodcast@gmail.com, leave a comment on our website, shebuildspodcast.com, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook at shebuildspodcast and on X, formerly known as Twitter, at shebuildspod. Until then, see ya!
Bye!
Adios!
Ellen is a registered landscape architect, principal, and...
But her name's Elizabeth.
What did I say?
Ellen.
Oh, this too many E-L's. Okay.
Hey, designers and curious minds. Ever wondered about the stories hiding within your building's walls? I'm Carrie Seaburn, structural engineer and host of Unstruct, the podcast that decodes and simplifies major concepts of structural design. Behind the math and physics, structural engineering simply predicts building behavior. Join me as we simplify the complex, making structural design accessible to everyone.
Nowadays, instead of measuring it via cost, we're saying, well, what about carbon, you know? We've got two levers now that we can, if an architect has an inefficient design, we can hit them with two levers, if you like.
The official casualty figure is 55,000. Everybody I talked to told me that the actual figure is at least three times as much. And I believe that. I mean, seeing what I saw, Turkish codes are good and they have been improving, but compliance was completely lacking.
Fluent in steel, concrete, masonry, and timber design, I'll bring you leading engineers to dissect the tales behind their building structure. Whether you're an architect, contractor, engineer, or just love a good story, this podcast is for you.
Yeah, beam penetrations. That's a fun topic on this project.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Unstruct. From within your walls, hear the story behind how your building stands today.